Welcome to Too Many Tabs, the only podcast where a husband and wife duo put a baby in a corner, and then they quietly, very quietly, hope that that baby sleeps for the next hour as they record their podcast.
I have news.
Yeah?
I think he sleeps better when we're loud.
You think he sleeps better when we're loud?
I think that when he was in Matumtum, he heard a lot of loud stuff from the yelling.
He did hear his dad scream directly into the phone, which was often near the tummy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then during this podcast, because we sit across from each other on this podcast.
Weekly.
And we research a topic.
Yeah.
And then we start clicking through hyperlinks.
Mm-hmm.
And then once a week, we kind of sit across from each other and just tell each other all about that topic.
Yeah, it's fun because we used to do it all the time and now we have to hold it all in.
Yeah, it actually has given us a thing to look forward to each week.
We're like, I can't wait to tell you this.
Yeah, but I can't.
Yeah.
Shut up. You'll learn.
We'll eat dinner on Wednesday and be like, I'm not telling you anything.
No, exactly.
Let's eat in silence and stare at our phones.
But that's the reason why you've reached and you found this amazing podcast, which we call Too Many Tabs. But keep it down. Don't wake the baby.
Okay.
Too many frauds and too many scammers that we wish weren't real. Too many cons and too many spammers, and we're starting to feel like we've got too many tabs open. It's too many tabs. Remember to smile.
Thank you. His name was Dust.
Thank you so much. We miss you and we love you and want to give you kisses on your little forehead next time we see you.
Ooh.
Speaking of guests,
okay,
I'm not going to spoil too much, but there is a certain lady who gave birth to me really wants to come back on the podcast.
I know. She's obsessed.
She's obsessed because so many of y'all were so nice to her on Patreon and through the votes that we did of like who everyone's favorite guests were. And then I took screenshots of them and I sent them to her in group text. And then everyone's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So she's super excited. And I talked to her the other day about an episode idea. So we hope to have Magistra Pearlmania back soon.
Yeah.
Also, speaking of Patreons.
Okay.
We are very close.
We're so close, everyone.
We're so close.
Everyone. We are so close.
I feel like we've been edging people on how close we've been for like weeks now, but we actually are. We're at 717 paid Patreon members.
Yeah.
That's team leads, that's Hey Huns, that's Feds, that's all of them. And I don't know if you guys know this, at 750, I'm going to read my second book of the year.
Yep.
Actual book of words. No pictures.
No pictures.
Just words.
If they put pictures in it, it'd be a different kind of book.
Yeah, this would be a much different type of book. I would have read it sooner. Instead, I got to sit here and imagine pictures with my mind.
With his imagination.
I just opened a page and it just said Jurian and I just got mad. But it's A Court of Mist and Fury by Sarah J. Maas. It is the second book of the ACOTAR, A Court of Thorns and Roses series, which I did the first one a bit ago. That is happening. That's going to be happening. You're so close.
I'm so excited to make you as part of the Patreon. I feel as though I am part of the Patreon as well.
Yeah.
I'm excited to bully you through support. By positive support, bullying you into reading a book. Because you haven't read any other books, so...
I read a lot of stuff. I just don't necessarily read a lot of books.
Speaking of reading.
Yes.
Two things. Number one, I had posted on the Patreon and on my Instagram at Mrs. Pearlmania 500 that this month's book, what we're doing. And so at the beginning of each month, I'm making a big effort to always post it on the Patreon and on my Instagram to give people the opportunity to read the book of the month, because I've gotten a lot of comments and inbox stuff saying people love reading it beforehand.
Yep. And you have the book here, and the book is called Patricia Wants to Cuddle.
Yep.
By Samantha Allen.
Yep.
And there's a note here at the top, and I'm not going to read anything else on this book beyond this note. And it says, quote, "Well, I guess Bigfoot lesbian rom-com mystery horror is my new favorite genre. So much fun." So that's that's the April Book Club.
Yeah, this April Book Club
is a Bigfoot lesbian rom-com mystery horror.
Yeah.
So, okay. So if people want to read that book before you spoil it for me and tell me all about it.
Yeah.
Because this would not be my favorite genre.
Disagree. I think you're going to love it.
I'm just saying it wouldn't be my go-to. If I had a big Netflix menu in front of me,
mm-hmm.
I would not go to the section that would be like Bigfoot lesbian rom-com mystery horror.
Well, your algorithm's different than mine, because it was like, let me tell you exactly what you want to read.
Yeah.
Speaking of reading as well. I put up a poll on the Patreon for people to vote on what May's book is going to be.
Yeah.
And we have a winner.
Yep.
It's a book called Black Sheep.
Yep.
It's about a gal who's leaving the cult she grew up in, and she has to like go back to visit for some reason. So that episode will be in May. I'll post about it on the Instagram and Patreon again so that people can get the book from the library, or buy it or whatever, however they want to read it, yep. Get it on Libby, the whole thing.
Yeah, no, that's great. And we're super excited for those. Also, my stand-up shows.
Yep.
I like how we actually have real announcements. It used to just be like, what are we going to talk about this week? I don't know, man, farts. Instead, now we're like, oh, we have actual shows. My Philly shows that are happening on 4/12 and 4/13. Two of the three shows have sold out.
Mm-hmm.
We have Saturday late show tickets. And by late show, I mean it's like 9 p.m. It's a great new theater, Next in Line Comedy. We may start trying to open up to add some more seats in there. We're going to see what we can do about that. But the early shows have sold out. We're super excited because those are going to be shows that are going to be building towards the tour, the big Soup for My Family tour, which the first three sets of tickets are available now. Portland, Oregon, Buffalo, New York, Austin, Texas. You can get those tickets now by going to Helium Comedy Clubs in those cities or Cap City down there in Austin. Or you can go to our Patreon. It is a post that is public for everybody.
Yeah, and go to Patreon, go to Alex's Linktree, or go to heliumswebsite.com.
Yeah.
Because we want to make sure you get the right tickets.
Yeah. The last time I had a show at Helium, we did find out that ticket resellers do trick people into paying too much. These tickets are like, I think, $25 tops.
Yeah.
I've tried to make sure that the tickets prices are normal. I'm not asking for extra money from the clubs. I'm not trying to do anything like that. We're just trying to get a good one.
Yeah. So if you get a link and it's like $130, find another
one. Not even that. I saw one. It was $250. Somebody, because if you typed in Pearlmania 500 comedy, it took people to a ticket site. And what that ticket site was doing is because the show wasn't sold out yet, they're like, oh, yeah, you can buy the tickets from us. And people would pay $250 and then they would go buy the $20 ticket.
Mm.
And so it's not like they're going and using bots like at Ticketmaster, these other things where they're going and gobbling up all the fucking tickets and then selling them because they think they're going to sell out like WrestleMania this weekend, which it's a whole thing. That's not happening. What's happening is they know that people click the first link. So don't do that. If you're going to get them, either go to my Patreon, go to my Linktree on either Instagram, TikTok, or any of the stuff, Pearlmania 500, or go directly to these clubs themselves and click on it. Do not use a reseller.
Go to Helium. Go see a different show. And while you're there, pick up a Pearlmania 500 ticket.
Okay. I don't want to go that far. I don't want to become fans of somebody else.
We support comedy.
Do we?
Yes.
No, we support libraries, okay? Which is what we're going to do today because you read yourself a bunch of stories.
I did.
And you read them from libraries.
I did.
And what type of stories are they? Because remember, the baby is sleeping.
Oh, yeah. We were supposed to be quiet this whole time.
Yeah.
No, this is about kind of the baby. We're doing an episode about nursery rhymes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's take a quick break for our Patreon listeners. It's going to go right into it. For everybody else, you're going to hear a quick ad. If you don't want to hear those ads, you can join us, pearlmania500.net or patreon.com/pearlmania500.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Mrs. P, we're back.
Yeah.
And you're here.
I'm here.
And you've researched how many nursery rhymes?
A lot.
A lot?
Okay, here's what happened.
Okay.
I got into a deep hole.
Okay.
I just like kept clicking and there was a lot of information. And then I went to the library to pull out some books. There was a book called Pop Goes the Weasel, which had information about all different nursery rhymes and like the history.
Okay.
Okay, here's the backstory. You were there.
Yeah.
It was late at night.
Baby.
Somebody wouldn't go to sleep. And we're cradling, we're rocking, and we're singing nursery rhymes. And we were singing Rock-a-Bye Baby.
Yeah.
And we both, at the same time, were like, this is a terrible song.
It's a weird song.
It's a weird... Why are we singing these lyrics?
Yeah.
How did I learn them? What does any of this mean?
Why is there a baby in a treetop?
It's falling. Okay, so I, in that moment, was like, I would love to know where this song comes from.
Yeah.
And so I walked over and I opened my notes app, as I do, and wrote down... Look up nursery rhymes because I don't have memory anymore.
Yeah.
Like goldfish.
Yep.
And so when I was like, oh, what did I want to research again? nursery rhymes.
For our younger listeners, just so you know, when you have a child, two things happen. Number one, your bones become very brittle.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
And number two, your brain rotted.
Yeah.
So you know how like you're constantly telling your parents like the same thing over and over and it doesn't seem to be registering?
Mm-hmm.
That's your fault.
No.
I want to let you know.
I'm going to blame lead poisoning.
You can blame lead poisoning, but I've watched it happen to you already.
That's microplastics.
That's microplastics.
I'm just a different generation.
But it's listen, I used to just be like, why don't they just remember things or write it down? But instead, I'm just like sitting there like, oh, we just can't.
Yeah.
I walk into rooms now and I'm like, I have no idea why I'm here.
I love it. My boss asks me things all like, I do not know.
I have no clue.
You should probably put that in a list somewhere so I can remember it.
Yeah. I used to be able to blame drugs. And now, like, what happened?
I'm
like,
I used to be cool.
I just don't sleep now.
I don't remember what I did this weekend was so much cooler in my 20s.
I know. Now it's like, I don't know. Well, there was the one day you came home because I was with the baby and I had been wearing the same, like my sleep shorts. Yeah. I was wearing sleep shorts and a bathrobe. And you were like, what have you done? I'm like, he's thrown up on me so many times. I just didn't want to ruin pants. Yeah. So nursery rhymes.
Okay, nursery rhymes. Okay, let's start. So here's the first thing. Out of all the research I did online and the books I read, this is all allegedly. Because they're so old that so many of them are attributed to different things. So I kind of just went with the ones that had the most sources saying that it was the right one.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But again, this is kind of an allegedly episode.
Okay.
Because a lot of historians can't prove this stuff.
Allegedly.
So I wanted to start off with Baba Black Sheep.
Baba Black. Okay. I haven't thought about that one.
All right. So I wrote down some quick versions of the little nursery rhyme so we can remind people. It's Baba Black Sheep, have you any wool? Yes, sir, three bags full. One for the master, one for the dame, and one for the little boy who lives down the lane.
That's the version I knew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looking back on it, one for the master is kind of a weird...
Well, great news.
Yeah?
You pinged right onto it. Because allegedly, this rhyme is actually about King Edward I's wool tax.
Of England?
Yes.
And that's Edward Longshanks.
Sure.
No, he's the bad guy from Braveheart.
What?
Yeah, Edward I of England is the bad guy from Braveheart.
Okay.
Yeah.
So...
He's known as Longshanks because he was tall. And that's what they used to call... They're like, oh, look at Edward, he's Longshanks over there.
So yeah, Edward I, he created this wool tax, and under the tax, he received a third of the profits from every sack of wool.
Okay.
So having three bags of wool meant that one of those bags was always for the king.
Okay.
Right?
So you want to have at least three sheep to get one sheep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, during his war with France in 1294.
Dude loved a war.
He loved a war.
Loved a war.
He proclaimed a royal seizure of all wool and leather in the realm. So he said, it's all mine. All the wool and leather.
Not just a third.
Not a third. It's mine and you guys have to buy it back from me. And so he would release the wool and leather back to the peasants for 40 shillings a sack.
This is like a weird reverse NFT. I love this. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Why did I learn this when I was four? What the fuck?
So, okay, here's what happened. Okay.
Okay.
So Edward needs more money. Because again, this dude loves war. I didn't go down the Edward I deep dive, but like I did was like, well, what's this guy all about? And I was like, this dude, you're right.
No, I read a book on him. I actually read a book on Edward a long time ago. It was like in 2017. I read a book on this dude because I was always like kind of interested in him because he's the bad, like I said, he's the bad guy from Braveheart.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But also maybe it was 2019. Remember when Chris Pine had a movie where he played a Scottish king?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He played Robert the Bruce.
What are we talking about? Scottish guys, Chris Pine. I'm there.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Calm down. Chill out, all right? I know you like the one good Chris, but Chris Pine.
Christopher Jamal Evans?
Oh, yeah, that's true. The two good Chrises.
Okay, thanks.
Chris Pine, though, plays Robert the Bruce, and in the beginning, he's there with Edward Longshanks.
Okay.
And the very beginning of that movie actually probably has one of the best portrayals I've ever seen of Edward I of England, because he builds this massive trebuchet. It's like the nuke of its day.
Mm-hmm.
And he's super excited because he's like, I'm going to fucking destroy this castle with this massive fucking trebuchet. And the castle gives up. And he's like, God damn it. Because it takes
like a week to build this thing. He has to bring in engineers. They got to cut down trees. They have to build it fresh.
Yeah.
And they build this whole thing. He's like, fuck. And he's like, all right, we'll do the peace treaty. He's like, but to celebrate the signing of the peace treaty, I'm going to bomb the castle.
Yeah.
And so that's what he does. He walks out and he finally fires the trebuchet. He's like, fuck yeah. And the guy who plays Edward I in that movie is the guy who played Stannis from Game of Thrones. Stannis Baratheon, the brother.
Wait. The Stannis?
Yes.
Is that the guy who I was telling you the other day is the dad from The Little Princess and it freaked me out?
No.
No.
No, that's the other guy. That was the Onion Knight guy.
Oh.
Stannis? Okay. All right. Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. Okay. For anybody with children right now, cover their ears real fast. Do you remember in Game of Thrones, there was the brother who fucked the Red Priestess who had the queef monster that killed that guy?
Mm-hmm, yep.
So that guy who fucked the Red Priestess with the short hair.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what I'm talking about now?
Yes, I do.
Okay. That guy played Edward I in this Chris Pine movie.
Got it.
Okay. Now everyone now understands this is how we play charades.
We're super good at it.
Yeah. It all comes back to the Game of Thrones queef monster, which happened once, then they never did it again.
They never explained anything past that.
No, actually. They were just like, yeah, no, just
she's gonna leave. She's gonna come. She's gonna show up at the last season and be like, "You're going in the right direction," and then leave again.
Yeah, and then die old. Anyway, but back to Edward.
The Red Witch Queef is our Kevin Bacon. That's our 7 degrees.
That's our 7 degrees.
Because I actually have met Kevin Bacon so many times, it's not even fair to use that Kevin Bacon anymore.
Yeah, I know. We get it. You used to be cool in your 20s. But back to Edward the First.
Okay,
the dude was super duper into war. And all he did was war, like constantly. But also at the same time, he was so into war that he ignored and hated his son.
Yeah.
So then his son lost every war he won. So that's why.
He did the thing where he didn't teach him. He just told him to hold the flashlight.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. He's like, you're never going to aim at the right spot.
Yeah. He's like, I'm not teaching you how to do war.
Yeah. And then when his son's 30, he's like, how can you not tell the difference between a Phillips and a flathead screwdriver? That's Edward I meets Edward II up.
Okay, so he loves war. So Edward, needing more money for all of the wars, he started taxing the nobility as well on the wool.
Okay.
So this had been like for the peasants and
there's
all the different layers of peasantry. There's different names for them all.
Tax on tax on tax.
And what happened was the nobles armed themselves against him. And forced Edward to issue his confirmation of the Magna Carta and the Forest Charter. And this was all to avoid a civil war because the nobles were like, fuck you.
Yeah.
We get the guns. We got the knives. We're giving guns to the peasants. They didn't have guns back then.
Yeah.
Knives.
Pitchforks. Pitchforks and rocks.
So the nobles had also sought to add another document to the Magna Carta called the De Taglio. And he was not prepared to concede to this. This was all about a person's right to taxation. But he did confirm a certain part of it that said, and quote, taxation should be by consent. However, he did not add any precision to the, to what that means.
Yeah.
So he interpreted it as his consent, not theirs.
Oh. So,
like, they thought they won. They're like, all right, we're only getting taxation when we consent to it.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's not what I wrote.
Yeah. It didn't say whose consent.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, that's fucked up. But but Magna Carta and all those different things, this is where taxation without representation takes place.
Mm-hmm.
So you mean to tell me that Baba Black Sheep is the reason why the Declaration of Independence was written?
No, I'm saying that Baba Black Sheep is a result of people telling each other stories about what they're going through.
Mm.
Also, the other part about it is that the black sheep, the black wool was considered less lucrative because black wool can't be dyed the same way white wool can be.
Yeah.
So I think the part of the storytelling there is that this black sheep wool is 3 bags and you're not going to get any value for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
The king is taking one. It's going to sell for less because it can't be dyed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the story of Baba Black Sheep.
Tell me the rhyme one more time.
Baba Black Sheep, have you any wool? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 3 bags full. One for the master, one for the dame, and one for the little boy who lives down the lane.
Okay. Got it. So one for the king, one of the nobility members, mm-hmm. and then one finally for the kid down the street.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And then there's a second verse and it says little girl down the lane.
But
the king and the dame don't change.
Okay.
So what's the next one I did? Okay, so the next one I did was rub-a-dub-dub.
Rub-a-dub-dub?
Yeah, because whenever I give the baby a bath, I'm like, rub-a-dub-dub, three men in a tub.
Okay, this one I've always been very concerned
it's
about.
It's weird, okay?
It's a concern. I remember as a kid being like, why are three grown men bathing
Why
together?
Do I care what their jobs are?
Yeah.
Like, okay, so.
It also teaches you pretty quickly as an adult, like, you are what your day job is.
Yeah, oh, that's it.
Oh, really?
No, I just mean like,
oh, yeah.
That's the moment when we're little. We're like, by the way, you're only what you produce in the world.
You are only the equivalent.
You make candles?
You're the candlestick maker.
Sorry.
You're the baker?
We don't even remember your name in this song.
No.
Just your job.
Damn. Okay.
Okay, so it goes, rub-a-dub-dub, three men in a tub.
Yep.
And who do you think they be? The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, all put out to sea.
Okay.
Okay, there's another line, but it's basically exactly the same.
Okay.
So apparently this one was pretty well agreed upon by the different historical accounts. This original rhyme is actually about a traveling carnival peep show.
What?
It was actually about three women in a tub during a peep show where men would come to watch women bathe and, you know, enjoy themselves. So basically, the traveling carnival shows, one of the things they would have is, you know, you pay like a nickel or whatever, and you'd go behind this curtain and there'd be three women in a bathtub, scantily clad or nude.
Yeah.
And you could watch them, you know, giggle and bathe each other. And it was a peep show.
But why do they have jobs?
Okay, so.
Okay, hold on. What? This is so confused. I'm baffled by this
one. So what, okay, there was an original. What I read to you is what happened after the Victorian era. Okay.
Oh, so we got the Kids Bop version.
We got the Kids Bop version.
Oh.
The original was, I can't, the you know how they like, their rhymes were weird?
Yeah.
Their rhymes are weird. It says, hey, rub-a-dub, ho, rub-a-dub, three maids in a tub. And then I read it as like, hey, ho.
Oh, yeah. No, think about, hey, nanny, nanny, hey, nanny. Yeah. That's how you think it.
Yeah.
So, hey, rub-a-dub, ho, rub-a-dub, three maids in a tub.
And who do you think were there? The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, all of them gone to the fair.
Oh
yeah!
Oh, it was a call out.
Yeah,
this Talking was a mission. Fucking call out.
Yeah.
Oh, they weren't the three men in the tub.
No, it was
they
three
were three
dudes
men watching the
watching
tub.
The ladies in the tub.
Yeah, you think everybody in this town's pure? The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker—they're all out there with the soap.
So what happened is during the Victorian era of, you know, super Puritan values, they, in quotes, cleaned it up and changed it to be three men in a tub, which honestly.
Which you made it gay.
You made it super gay.
You made it super gay. But that was back in the Victorian era where like they didn't even know gayness existed.
Yeah.
Except for all of the times they were doing that.
Yeah. Except for
it's
all the
such
times.
That's such a weird time because it's weird because like when you go reading through about like sexuality and all these different things throughout history, like it goes through such ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
Is there's times where, like when you go back to like around the founding fathers time, like in England, like those people were just out there just like fucking. They were just fucking and they're like, print it in the newspaper. And they're like, what? And then like Queen Victoria showed up and she's like, Mom, while I do have a lot of sex, it's with one German. He died, so now no one can enjoy it. And you're like, oh, fuck. And then they were like, all right, well, when she dies, we can go back to enjoying sex. She's like, I will never die. I am the most old, frumpy thing you've ever seen. Because she was on all their money, and so no one could get a boner. That's what it was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. Look at a picture of Queen Victoria at the end there and be like,
No. Okay.
You wouldn't be a three men in a tub.
So... That was basically that's the whole story.
That's the whole story.
That's the whole story on that one.
It was basically a quote tweet.
Yeah, it was people talking shit about who they saw at the peep show.
Yeah. Oh my god. Also, I love that. I love that we've always had this, like a traveling carnival. Because when you think about carnivals and like you think about like the strongman and like the freak show and like the animals from around the world and all the trapeze artists and they're like, and then over here's the jerk off tent. They're like, what? They're like, Barnum and Bailey didn't have it by the time we were, like, in the 80s and 90s when they would do, like, the Ringling Brothers. And they're like, we have the elephants and we have the clowns. Like, where's the jerk-off tent? You got to go. It's by the airport.
It's on Market Street by the firehouse.
Yeah, no, it's on the airport road over by Cargo City.
Whoa.
There's like six of them, and they're all really weird, but they're open during the daytimes. And that's where we do the long-term parking. It's very weird in Philly.
Oh, no. Okay, so we move to the next one?
Okay, well, I just want to point out, so far, this is a story of threes.
Yeah.
Story of threes so far, because Bob Black Sheep, three bags.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have the three gentlemen.
Yeah.
It's so weird. It's a jerk-off story. Okay.
So the next one is Jack and Jill.
Okay. Oh, please. Okay.
All right.
Jack and Jill
went up the hill to fetch a pail of water.
Okay.
Jack fell down and broke his crown, and Jill came tumbling after.
Yeah.
Okay. And so growing up, I remember reading little kid books where it showed two little kids, a boy and a girl, running up a hill to get a pail of water, and then they fall down.
Yeah.
And then they go and do it again. And like that's basically the whole story.
Yeah. It's teaching kids don't run down hills.
Don't run down hills carrying water. Here's the thing. Jill, in the actual nursery rhyme, in its origin, Jill is a male name. It's with a G. Jill with a G. So it's Jack and Jill.
Maybe it was actually like Jack and Gil, like old Gil.
Yep.
Okay.
So we're getting close. So Jill or Gil is actually the story of King Charles I and his implementation of a liquid tax reform.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, Charles I of England?
Yes.
The one, okay, all right.
The one that what?
The one that Oliver Cromwell fucking murked.
Mm-hmm. So Jack and Gills were units of measurements for liquids. So, okay, I have to do a little bit of backstory here. I went down a deep dive on this one because there's so much information.
Okay.
And it actually starts. Okay, so the Romans leave England in 400 AD.
Damn it! What? I'm sorry if I blew out everybody's ears. We're going with the Romans?
So the Romans have left England.
This is Jack and Jill we're talking about.
Yes.
Went up a hill to fetch a pail of water.
Uh-huh.
Okay, 400 AD.
Here's the reason. After the Romans left, all of the regional rulers became the standardized, like they were the authorized standardizers of weights and measurements.
Yes.
So basically every town, every area had their own regional ruler who was in charge of that.
Yeah, they do like weights and measures.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, which is all good until trade started to increase.
Yeah.
And people in different communities started to like fight with each other because that one person's like, you're cheating me out of an ounce. Like, you're cheating me out of a gram. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
because I say that a gram's worth this amount, and that you said an ounce is worth this amount. Yeah, before you had standardization.
Yeah, exactly. So then in 1016, Ethelred the Unready King of England, which I had to write the full name out.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Ethelred the Unready is pretty cool because he really wasn't ready. that's what his nickname means. He was not ready to be king.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, fuck you, dude. You are not ready.
You are not ready.
You got murked.
So he passed a statute that said, quote, hateful illegalities be earnestly shunned through the realm, first among them to be false weights and measures. So he's the first person that decides to standardize across the United Kingdom measurements.
Well,
right?
Across England.
Across England, sorry.
Yeah. There's like, it's a confusing time because Wales is its own thing. Scotland's its own thing. There's also, I think when he was there, still like a little bit like the Danelaw shit. So like there's like some Vikings floating around too. It's a whole deal.
Well, yeah, they're actually, I didn't. Okay, spoiler alert. I didn't do London Bridges falling down.
Yeah.
But a lot of the, I started looking into it, and it's a lot about Vikings.
Yeah.
Weird. So anyway, in 1215, the Magna Carta has a devoted section to one weight, one measure, and one measure of volume. So we're back at the Magna Carta.
So there's a whole section of the Magna Carta that's just about measurement. I've never actually read the Magna Carta. I know I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
I went to England when I was a kid, and they're like, here's one of the Magna Cartas. There's a couple copies of it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, cool. And then my mom was like, that's Latin for great paper. And I was like, okay, it just means big chart. But one of the things was they always point out, like, the Magna Carta is a basis of our constitution.
Yep.
And it's part of, like, the English constitution, all this different stuff. So I didn't know that it would be so, it'd be like in the U.S. Constitution, if there was a part in there, they're like, no, the kilowatt hour, like that's the equivalent.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I did get, I made myself a little chart here of the measurements because it's okay. important. So a mouthful, which is a measurement they used, a mouthful, is a cubic inch of liquid, a cubic inch.
Okay.
A jack is 4 mouthfuls.
So 4 cubic inches.
Yeah, 4 cubic inches okay. of liquid. A gill is twice a jack.
Oh, motherfucker. Okay.
A cup is twice a jill. A pint is twice a cup. A quart is twice a pint. A pottle is twice a quart. And a gallon is twice a pottle.
This is why I'm pro metric.
Okay.
This is 100%. I'm so mad right now.
I know.
Because first thing, I've never understood those sizes. After you got past mouthful,
mm-hmm.
I was like, fuck. When she started mentioning ones that I knew, like yeah. pint, I was like,
mm-hmm.
I'm just mad. I hate a pint.
You want a pottle?
I don't. No.
So, Charles.
I want a liter of cola.
Okay. So, Charles, once. Okay. We're talking about Charles passing
Charles
this tax
yeah.
on liquids by measurement. So, here's the thing. And I didn't get into too much of his backstory, but it was very interesting. And maybe you could explain it to me. But his parliament fucking hated him.
Yo, yeah. No, it famously.
Famously?
Famously.
I was like, yo, this dude's parliament fucking hates this
Okay, I'm going to give you the littlest bit of backstory.
Okay.
His parliament fucking hated him. You actually nailed most of it.
Yeah.
Because, again, he wanted to be in war.
Yeah.
This is the biggest thing with all the English kings is every single one of them, like, they want to be famous and they want to win a big war.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that, they need money.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, I have an idea. How about instead of us going to war, why don't we, like, I don't know, eat food and learn how to read? And they're like, fuck you.
Boo.
We got to fight the French and the Scottish at the same time.
Woo.
Yeah.
Okay. So he wants to pass this tax on liquids by measurement. Parliament, and I wrote in quotes, who fucking hates him, rejects his tax.
Yes.
They're like, no. Charles, being a petty ass bitch,
mm-hmm.
he realizes he can't tax the volume or he can't tax the liquids. So he makes a royal decree and changes the volume size, right? So basically you get less liquid, but you're taxed at the same amount.
Oh.
It's shrinkflation.
Jack and Jill is about shrinkflation?
Yes. So a jack became less liquid but taxed at the same rate. And I guess it happened very shortly after to Jill. So the poem is that they go up to fetch a pail of water. Jack fell down and broke his crown and Jill came tumbling after. It was kind of hate talk at the king for what he was doing to pints and to Jill's.
Oh.
This was like local peasant people.
Yeah, and going up the hill
singing
is swinging
songs
like,
and shit.
Is like on a chart too of like yeah. going up in a graph as well to go fetch this pail of water.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack fell down and broke his crown, like how much it's worth and all those different things.
Yeah.
It's about fucking shrinkflation?
Yeah.
God damn. Things never change, do they?
No.
Things never change.
No.
Oh, my God. All right. So for the first part here, we learned that Baba Black Sheep
mm-hmm.
is about taxes.
It's about taxes, yeah.
And representation.
Mm-hmm.
The Three Men in the Tub
mm-hmm.
is about whacking it.
Yep.
And Jack and Jill is about
taxes. Taxes.
Most nursery rhymes are about taxes. You know what's funny is the movie Jack and Jill by Adam Sandler.
Oh.
Do you remember that?
No, I never saw it.
You never saw that?
I've never seen any Adam Sandler movie.
That is a commercial.
Great.
It is a Dunkin' Donuts commercial.
Oh.
In it, Jack is Adam Sandler.
Mm-hmm.
His sister Jill comes to visit, who's also played by Adam Sandler. And the whole time Jack is dealing with his annoying sister.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing he's trying to do is make this Dunkin' Donuts commercial starring Al Pacino, who is pushing the new Dunkachino. And so it is a 90-minute long movie mm-hmm. that ends with you watching an Al Pacino Dunkin' Donuts commercial. And that's considered the victory.
Again, there's a reason I've never watched an Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah, no, we've been over how weird that is.
No, it's not weird. I don't like his movies. I don't think he's funny.
That's fine.
Yeah.
It's just weird that you've never watched one of them.
Why would I waste my time?
I don't know, man, because it was just, you know, it was just part of a time that people existed.
Yeah, for boys. Yeah. I watched what was the one where he had the little kid?
Big Daddy.
I watched maybe the opening 15 minutes of Big Daddy and I immediately said, no, a dude that looks like that can't get a girl that looks like that. And then I realized that that's his whole thing, is he's a gross looking dude with bad humor.
Yeah.
And then he always somehow gets the hottest chick in the room. Also, that one with Drew Barrymore where she can't remember, that's fucking like abusive.
Okay. Look, besides, let's roll back the 50 First Dates ones, because I agree with you. 50 First Dates, even I remember when I first heard about the movie, I was like, that's horrifying. That's a horror movie. But I want to go back to the first thing you said.
Yeah.
A dude who looks like that, who makes gross jokes, can't get the hottest chick in the room.
Yeah.
Are you aware of what's happening at this moment?
Yeah, yes.
Uh-huh. Did you see right now? Have you seen a reflection of yourself in the mirror behind me?
Yeah.
And then you see me, this gross dude who makes gross jokes.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And then you are literally the hottest chick in the room.
Uh-huh, yeah. Okay, so I hear you.
Yep.
But I don't think he's funny, and therefore I can't.
Oh, okay.
I can't.
Okay. So with that, we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, you're going to do a couple more nursery rhymes for us.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And we're back. Mrs. P,
yep.
What is our next nursery rhyme?
Okay, next nursery rhyme is about Ring Around the Rosie.
Ring Around the Rosie.
Ring Around the Rosie,
pocket full of posy,
ashes, ashes, we all fall down.
Okay.
And usually growing up, it'd be you with a bunch of little kids holding hands, rolling in a circle, running in a circle, singing it. And then when you say the ashes, we all fall to the ground.
Everybody collapses.
And we giggle.
Yeah.
Normal. Not at all weird.
Yeah. It is scary, though.
Yeah.
Because that is one of the nursery rhymes when you hear little kids saying in a wilting voice with a piano in the background.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That is like built-in instant scary
we
movie.
We all know it's scary.
Ready?
We'll this is the only one I actually already knew the background on.
Well, let's do it in a little kid voice. Ready?
Ring around the rosy pocket full of... If this wakes the baby up.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. He is literally snoring.
So here's the thing. I already knew the background of this.
Yeah.
Because... I have an interesting Ring Around the Rosie story, but it's my dad's story. And so I texted him and asked him, I don't think he didn't get back to me yet about whether or not I could share it. But for the listeners, my dad and I are both super into paranormal stuff. We've been talking about starting our own paranormal YouTube channel. Who knows? Maybe I could get the old man to retire and then we could do it. But so basically, Ring Around the Rosie, it originated during the Black Plague, actually right at the end of the 17th century. Around the end of the Black Plague. It wasn't during the beginning. It was kind of after people had lived through the experience.
Yeah.
So the plague was spread by fleas that were on rats, which most of us know. The ring around the rosy line refers to the red rings that would develop around the plague victim's skin where they got bit by the flea.
Oh.
So what would happen is you'd get like, it looked like ringworm. I looked up pictures of it. It was gnarly. And they're all like illustrations. Like it's like only what historical people think based on other stuff. But so it's not like a picture. But I was like, oh, because what happens is the red rashes that were circular would later develop into large and very painful black boils.
Yeah.
Gross. So Ring Around the Rosie, it's talking about the actual thing happening on your skin. A pocket full of posies is because people believed that disease was spread through bad smells.
Mm-hmm.
So that's they didn't realize that like fleas on rats were the reason.
Yeah.
They thought it was the smells that were causing them to get sick.
Yeah. So there was a lot of weird beliefs back then based on the evidence that they had because they didn't have the time to like sit there and see disease cultures and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You would look and you would just see like people thought that like maggots, they didn't think they came from fly sex.
Mm-mm.
They thought that like garbage birthed maggots.
Yeah.
It's weird stuff like that because again, if you're not putting it together, you can't quite figure it out until somebody literally sat there and was like, I'll put this piece of rotted fruit under glass. Oh, look, no maggots showed up, but the fruit rotted. Oh, but look, if I take it off and I watch it for 4 straight days, I'll see a bunch of flies land on it.
Yeah.
And they slowly start to build that empirical evidence of like, oh, this is where maggots come from.
Yeah.
This is where like these bad things. So there was a lot of weird beliefs of like, hey, if I smell rotted stuff, if I smell rotted flesh, then I'm going to get black plague, which would make sense because
it makes sense because they're smelling sick people and they're like, if I smell that, then I might get sick.
Yeah, exactly.
So, which is actually really interesting because the one thing I also knew from our time when we went to Venice is that the reason the plague doctors' masks are long like that is the beak itself. They would shove flowers and bergamot oil into the beak.
Yep.
And that was how they kept the bad smell out.
Yeah, yeah. Those cool plague doctor masks. I like those masks, but I feel like I want to say around 2010, maybe 2012, I feel like they got overplayed again in our culture.
Yeah.
They were like everywhere, like, oh, look at me, I'm the cool. But then like COVID hit, and everyone's like, I don't want to see one of those fucking things.
Let's not plague doctor anymore.
Let's not talk about these things anymore. So you're telling me, though, so it's not the smell. So masks don't work is what you're saying here. You've heard it here first, everybody.
Okay.
We're pivoting right now. We're pivoting hard, everyone. The truth is going to come out here through our pocket full of posies.
It's not a pivot. They always knew we were going to go full Alex Jones.
Yeah, no, we're definitely...
Wait till you find out about our supplements.
You need this brain juice right here. You want to have big, beautiful hair? Come and get these hair pills.
So, finally, Ashes, We All Fall Down is about the burning of many dead bodies. It was estimated 75 to 200 million people in Europe died of the Black Plague.
Yep.
Most of them having to be burned.
Yep.
Because they didn't know a lot about science, but they did know that you needed to burn the bodies to, you know, not spread disease.
Yeah, and to create a terrible carbon footprint.
Well, okay. I feel like they weren't worried
about
that.
Terrible carbon footprint.
I think they weren't worried about that.
Yeah, no, and actually one of the big things with the Black Death that it's often brought up is it started some of the earliest labor movements because much like now with COVID, there was so much death that there actually was less people in the workforce. So workers could finally ask for higher wages and they could start to get them because of the actual, the actual trade working.
Yeah.
Because there was, there's a demand for workers and there's a low supply, so we should pay them more. And that's what like started moving people around more.
Yeah.
Which also started spreading more Black Death.
Oh.
Because it's the movement of peoples. Also, it wasn't just the fleas. It was actually the mites in between the fleas' armor that spread the plague. It's crazy. Like, the whole thing with bubonic plague is crazy. And it does constantly try to come back. But here's the good news for anyone ever scared about bubonic plague. It's actually a bacterial plague. It is not a viral plague like the way COVID was and some other things. We actually have treatments for bubonic plague.
Nice.
Yeah. It's very... We have antibiotics for it.
Yeah. So if you see a bunch of rats around, don't go near them, but also don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry about them as much.
Yeah, if they live in your house, worry about it.
Yeah.
If you see them at the subway, just avoid them.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the next one? Oh, I wanted to close with the one that started this whole idea, which is Rock-a-bye Baby.
Okay, there we go.
I think it's the closer because this is what started me down this path.
Yeah, okay.
So
reminded me of the
Rock-a-bye rhyme. Baby. Rock-a-bye Baby on the treetops, when the wind blows, the cradle will rock. When the bell breaks, the cradle will fall, and down will come baby, cradle and all.
Okay. I've always hated this one. And actually, before you get into it, I always think about, there is a joke. Do you remember the show Rocky and Bullwinkle?
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you way too young, which is going to be most of you, there was a cartoon show in the 60s, the 1960s, called Rocky and Bullwinkle. And it was this dumb little cartoon. And that used to get re-aired all the time on either Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network in the 80s and 90s because they just re-aired a lot of really old stuff that they could get for cheap. And they did Rock-a-bye Baby because they were making jokes about how people were mad at how many cartoons had violence.
Yeah.
And so they did this whole thing where like Bullwinkle doesn't understand the term violence.
Okay.
He's thinking they keep saying violets. Like the flowers or the color.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like, all right, well, we'll just tell like a good nursery rhyme instead. And that'll entertain the children. And they do Rock-a-bye Baby and they draw it out with a crib, like one of those old style rocking cribs on top of a tree, plummeting to the earth and like crushing a baby. And it was like subversive cartooning, but I was like 8.
Yep.
And I was like, this wasn't meant for me.
I thought we'd get the moose and squirrel.
Yeah. Yeah, it was one of those, or Professor Peabody, or one of those. Yeah.
Nope. So this one, again, this one's actually had a lot of different suggested history, right? Okay. So again, I can't prove that any of this, the historical stuff is hard to follow. One group of thinking, people suggested that this lullaby actually refers to a 17th century ritual where stillborn babies were hung from trees in like kind of like a hammock in hopes of bringing them back to life, which is horrifying.
Okay.
Horrifying.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. But then, wait, hold on. Let's dive
back. I just kind of wanted to go past it.
Okay.
A lot of people suggested.
What country? Was that England still?
It didn't say. It was like 17th century.
Okay. So in the 1600s, people were like, oh, stillborn. And you could happen to walk past a house that just has a dead baby hanging from
really
a tree?
I didn't want to stay on this one.
Okay.
I was like, wait, what? No. Okay. So then the other one that has a lot, this had a lot of sources that were like, this is what we really think this is about. And you're never going to guess. It's about a British royal.
God damn it. They're always.
We've just been singing songs to our children for decades about British royals.
Was this about the missing princess? Kate Middleton? Is this like their version of Kate Middleton missing and then finding out it was cancer?
So some historians believe that this rhyme is about King James II.
Okay.
He had trouble producing an heir.
Yeah.
And
because he was a bitch.
The wind blowing is Protestantism. And it's the oncoming Protestantism is in the wind.
Shut the fuck. Okay.
It's alleged that the king smuggled another man's child into the birthing chamber because he needed to ensure the throne could stay under Roman Catholic control. Despite James's efforts, the cradle was doomed because the House of Stuart would fall when his daughter Mary married a Protestant.
Yeah.
So again, this one's not about taxes. It's about birthright. And also Protestants.
And Catholics.
And Catholics.
Oh, my God. How did we get two Stuarts in this? Because, the Jack and Jill, Charles the First.
Yep.
Charles the First is the father of James the Second.
Perfect.
So, that's why I'm like, what the fuck? Because, so.
And then didn't King Edward the First, he wrote the Magna Carta.
No, he didn't write the Magna Carta.
Okay.
No. Magna Carta. So you know, okay. Remember when I was watching Robin Hood with the baby the other day?
Yeah.
And there was Prince John.
Mm-hmm.
Prince John is the reason the Magna Carta exists.
The lion.
Yeah, the lion who was a big yeah. That was Richard the First's brother.
Uh huh.
He became king, and he sucked.
Yeah.
He was awful. He was a terrible king. That's why we've never had another king named John. And he was so bad that the lords rebelled. But the lords were weird, and they were like, they didn't want to just like replace the king because of like all their weird beliefs, but they were like, all right, we'll write this document called the Magna Carta, and that'll keep him in check.
Yeah.
And then like he did what everybody does, which is like he like followed it for like a bit and then threw it out.
Yeah.
He was like, the Magna Carta wasn't supposed to be a forever document. It was like just for a couple years. It was basically a peace treaty, but it kind of started to set terms and create parliament and all these other different things. Basically, every time that they had a new king, that document would get reaffirmed by each king.
Okay.
But also, one of the things that would typically happen is whenever the nobles would have a rebellion against a bad king, they would lock in more and more of those terms. What's actually funny is, since you brought up Charles the First and even James the Second, like, the Magna Carta was a big deal then, too.
Yeah.
So, like, four out of the five, right?
Yeah.
I think four, no, not, not three. Three out of the five. Ended up being nursery rhymes about the fucking Magna Carta.
Yeah.
And these are ones that we learned as kids in like...
No, you sing to the baby.
Yeah. And in,
let me tell you about the British royals while you sleep.
Yeah, and pre-K. Incredible. But this is great research, Mrs.
Thanks.
P.
Yeah, I looked into some others. If people really like this episode, I can do more.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to keep going because I know we have a little bit of a tight schedule today.
Yeah, we do have a bit of a tight schedule between the baby and WrestleMania and dog walking and all sorts of other stuff we're trying to get done. So I appreciate this, and I think it was a very good episode. So we're going to go give our shout-outs to all our Patreons now. And there's actually a couple things I saw on there. So if people want to hear any more lore about us, you can always hear that during these shout-outs. So stick around, everybody.
Pearl Mania,
Pearlmania500.net is where you can go if you want to join, or go to patreon.com/Pearlmania500 if you want to become a team leader and get us to our 750 goal. And our first of our 24 shout-outs today, Mrs. P.
Holy shit, okay.
Comes from alexisanerd.com, still redirects to the Patreon.
It sure does.
It's
good still... reminder for everybody. Hey,
yeah, that was one of the reasons why I ended up finally buying Pearlmania500.net and doing that as a redirect for a little while until we eventually... hopefully someday get around to building our own website. But, you know, that's a pretty big ask.
That feels like future Perlman's
that's
problem.
A pretty big ask right there. So let's keep on going with some of these shout outs. So big shout out to alexisanerd.com, still redirects to the Patreon. After that, we have Haley Byrne.
Hey, hon.
After that, we have Lulu.
Hey, hon.
After that, we have Leslie_loves_cats_n_frogs.
I agree. Cats and frogs are wonderful. Hey, hun.
I also love that they did emojis.
There are emojis there.
And after frogs. Perfect. So thank you. And that actually even translated all the way to the Google Sheet through exporting. After that, we have Raggedy Andy.
Hey, hun.
After that, we have, 'cause the glamour didn't work on me, bitch, you got stolen by a werewolf. That is a reference to ACOTAR. And that
hey
is hun. One word.
I'm obsessed. Say hey hun.
All right. After that, we got some underscores. After that, we have the_cursed_books_that_weir_making_alex_read.
Yes.
Woo. That's a good one. After that, we have _all_beef_wiener_thief_. That, on,
that's
can I say,
incredible.
All beef wiener thief might be a good, what's the word I'm looking for here? Quizzo team name.
Oh my God, that would be such a good
that's
Quizzo
a good,
team name.
Yeah. after that, we have Bubsy Daisies.
Bubsy Daisies, hey hun.
After that, we have April Merritts.
Hey hun.
Okay. This one's very long. And this person apologized, but they very much want me to read this book. And they also had a few other requests, and they said that they might keep resubbing until I give in to their request.
Okay.
So, missubscribing as a hey hun because I couldn't think of a name, _. Also, I need you to read ACOTAR, _. Anyway, here's the dumb name I came up with, _. When I'm anxious, my... That just ends. It's just when I'm anxious, my what?
I love a cliffhanger.
It's a good
keeping
one.
Keeping us on the edge of our seats.
After that, we have _eternally_possum_.
Hey, hun.
After that, we have Zoe.
Hey, hun.
After that, this next one kind of gets me.
Okay.
I hope you're ready.
I'm ready.
Ookie_spooky_gloopy_gloppy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like that is a very specific type of paranormal.
Yeah.
It's ooky spooky.
And it's gloopy gloppy. You gotta look out for the gloopy gloppies when you got the ooky spooks.
You like an ooky spooky. You don't like a gloopy gloppy, though, usually.
No, I like an ooky spooky.
Because gloopy gloppy usually leads into, like, body horror or some sort of weird grossness.
Yeah, I want a ghost. I want a paranormal. I don't want Saw movies.
Yeah, here's what the thing,
I hate
though.
That stuff.
Here's the thing, though. I don't like horror, but I do like a good squelch. Now... for those of you guys who watch movies or TV with closed captioning on,
yeah.
Which I do often, because sometimes like you don't quite hear what they're saying, mm-hmm. And the volume jumps all over the place. Sometimes the baby starts crying. I just can't hear it. So I have captions on, and I've noticed more and more.
Squelch
is a closed caption. They love to throw up there.
Yeah.
As somebody like gets hit in the head with a hammer, or yep. You know what I mean? Or something that's squished off camera. It's not a squish.
It's a squelch.
It's a squelch.
Yeah.
That's a squelch. I'm a big squelch fan.
Okay.
I'm not a gloopy gloppy guy.
You got to look out for the gloopy glops.
All right. After ooky spooky gloopy gloppy, we have Nellie Newt.
Hey, hun.
After that, we have Yuva May.
Hey, hun.
And I just want to say thank you, Yuva May, just for sending in the phonetic pronunciation.
Hooked on phonics.
I'm a big
time.
Fan of
it.
Phonetics. After that, we have Sydney Zane in the Membrane. I love that.
That's incredible, honestly.
Yeah, I think my other favorite thing, too, is because, like, when I get these, I get the emails next to them, and I'm like, All right, cool. Your name isn't actually Sydney Zane. I love this. This is so good. After that, we have exhausted DS9 fan. And aren't
we
all?
Did you sign up for your own Patreon? What are you talking about?
I was just saying, aren't we all just exhausted DS9 fans?
Yeah.
It's very funny because I've had this DS9 poster behind me for years now.
Oh my God, yeah.
And every time I have a video go viral, like, there's always just a few comments. People are like, God, good DS9.
Yeah.
I learned a lot of my values through that.
Yeah, obviously.
That's a good, it's the best Star Trek.
For sure.
Yeah.
You got Kieran Reese.
Yeah.
You got Dax.
Yeah.
You got Garrick.
You got Worf. You have good Worf.
Yeah, good Worf. Oh, and then they get married.
Yeah.
Come on.
And then he gets sad.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, don't be.
Well, because I think Worf is better in Deep Space Nine than he is in Next Gen. I think he's fine
sure.
in Next Gen. But he doesn't get as much of the character development. Somebody pointed out, in Next Gen, Worf is strong.
Mm-hmm.
But he gets beat up a lot.
Yeah.
And in Deep Space Nine, he's strong and he wins the fights a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But in both, he's a terrible father.
I was going to say, he's a really bad dad.
He's a really
bad dad.
You
know who's a great dad? Benjamin Sisko.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Anyway, let's rewatch Deep Space Nine.
Of course. It's like 187 episodes.
We got time.
After that, we have Tyam Quartz.
Hey, hun.
After that, we have Laura Moss.
Hey, hun.
After that, we have Elfish Parsley sounds like Elvis Presley.
Oh, there, hey, hun, yeah.
There were underscores in there, but I really wanted to nail it.
Okay.
So, Elfish Parsley underscore sounds like underscore Elvis Presley.
That's great. Thank you.
Hey, after that, we have underscore is the new hashtag.
Yeah, it is. Hey, hun.
It's funny because I could have read that as pound.
Yep.
You know?
But we don't do that anymore.
Nobody calls it pound.
Well, because nobody has a dial-up phone or like a phone where you press the buttons. What
well,
are
you
called?
Can still, yeah.
Landline.
The landline.
Because that's when you use pound.
Yeah, I know, but it used to be like, if you want this, dial pound 69 or star 69 or pound 69.
Yeah, block your number with star 67.
Whoa.
So you could prank call people.
Yeah. And finally, we have our last Patreon of this week, Real Quaker underscore here for smut. And I just want to say, that's a true Pennsylvanian right there.
Hon.
Yeah, I don't know if you live in Pennsylvania, but Pennsylvania was founded by a Quaker.
That's true.
William Penn. And we are all just here for the smut.
Yeah.
And that smut we are getting closer to every single day. So I'm going to start reading this book here in anticipation of how close we're getting.
Oh, you? Okay, so you are so sure that we're going to hit this goal.
I'm not sure, but I
think you like the book and you want to read it.
Okay. Well, Mrs. P, do you have any final thoughts on this episode and on this week?
Oh, on this week? What a week. On this episode, I think it was super funny and great. I had a great time researching nursery rhymes.
Yep. The baby had a great time waking up right at the end. The
baby had a great time, too. It's National Library Week.
Yep.
So go support your libraries.
Get your library
cards. There's a lot of fun stuff happening at libraries across America. They need your support more than ever. And follow me on Instagram for more information about libraries and book club at Miss Pearlmania 500.
Yep. And if you guys are ever looking for anything else, also, yeah, all of our links are in the show notes. If you guys need anything at all, ever, please join us on Patreon and send us a message through there. That's the best way to get a hold of us. We appreciate all of you and have yourself a great day.
Too many frauds and too many scammers that we wish weren't real. Too many cons and too many spammers, and we're starting to feel like we've got too many tabs open. It's too many tabs. Remember to smile.